As we hear the gospel this morning in Luke chapter 15, if you'd like to follow along, take some notes. There's an outline for you on the back table there by the offering plate. And on the other side also, for our younger people, there's a worksheet for you to kind of work through as you engage in worship this morning. Please feel free to use that. Go ahead and get up and get one now if you would like. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10 is our continuing journey this Pentecost season with Jesus as he's been moving from the north in the region of Galilee down south. He made a stop in Bethany, and he's been moving around now that area through the towns and villages around Jerusalem, even going into Jerusalem, to proclaim the good news of our Lord, and people are following him. They want to hear what he has to say. And he's been teaching them. And what we've been hearing from him in this section, starting at chapter 14, going now on through verse 17, from far away might look like a simple road to navigate, a road of faith. But as we get up close and into these teachings, particularly their parables that Jesus gives to us of the kingdom, well, now we see a little bit more about what this path, this road, this journey of faith is like. It's kind of curvy. We're called to navigate some difficult curves, turns, truths concerning the kingdom that Jesus is laying out for us. And without the Holy Spirit, without that gift and blessing of faith to navigate these curves, well, we'd go off the side. And so as the Holy Spirit brings us together today, we hear this word of the Lord and navigate a couple more curves in this journey with Jesus as people of faith. Today, Jesus lays out for us in the two parables that he gives, his call to repentance. A call to repentance. And what does that mean for us as Jesus gives it to us? We pick it up in verse 1 as we hear, and excuse me, let me get a drink of water because my throat is drying out here. We hear in verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." I suppose it would be very easy. I find myself in this boat. To say, well, these are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. I don't have any connection with them. Didn't they want to see Jesus killed and put aside? Oh, I love Jesus. I want to live in his joyful resurrection, the good news. Didn't they refute every truth that he spoke? I want to be a part of those truths. I want those truths to mark my life now and unto eternity, right? And weren't they thwarting the good news concerning the kingdom that he was coming to establish at every turn? I want to live in that kingdom. And not only the kingdom now, but the kingdom to come with him in eternity, forever. This marks our lives. And yet, maybe we shouldn't discount the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who are muttering against Jesus so quickly. After all, Jesus lays out for us a parable, two parables, a parable about a man and a parable about a woman, which means all of us are included in these teachings. The man has a sheep. He loses it and he goes to find it. He rejoices when he finds it. He calls all his friends together to join in that celebration. Same with the woman, only she has a coin. She loses it, she finds it, and she calls her friends together. There's great rejoicing. Now, that might have cultural context, sheep and a coin, but there's a larger truth that Jesus is directing us into, a larger truth that has something much more valuable than a sheep or a coin. For what Jesus directs us into is the lost lives, souls that we are because of our sin. Because of the curse of death over us, because of the curse of judgment, because of our sin over us, Jesus speaks to us concerning we, human beings, who are lost. The Lord God's searching for us as we recognize, the Spirit moves us to recognize, yes, I'm lost. I'm like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in my sinfulness. I need to accept that and recognize that. But I can't do that on my own. It's the working of the Holy Spirit, God's work in our lives, that brings us to this realization. And in doing so, He calls each one of us. And we celebrate it together as the church, repenting of our sins. Metanoeo is the word that Luke uses here as Jesus calls to us to repentance. And what we find in this simple word is a packed meaning for us. Meaning, it is the Spirit-wrought turning of my heart and mind. Spirit-wrought. It's not of myself. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him, repent of my sins. It's the Holy Spirit who calls me and gathers me and enlightens me with the whole church into these truths. So it's the Spirit-wrought turning of my heart and mind from my sinful nature to recognize I'm just like a Pharisee or a teacher of the law. Jesus, You're speaking right to me in this truth today. To a wholehearted response then of discipleship in Jesus. Wow. One little word brings all of this truth out for us that we are the ones Jesus is speaking to. When without that call of repentance, as we navigate these truths of the kingdom, well, we need to be honest before the Lord. As we're honest with one another, I go off the curves and I go right into a tree. Well, not necessarily a tree, but it's like hitting a tree. The law is before me. The law condemns my sinfulness. And here I am, stuck in that condemnation without the work of the Lord and His righteousness, His call to repent. And brothers and sisters, repentance is one of those pillars that we build on in our faith. Young people, repentance is one of those aspects of our walk with Jesus Christ that brings us into the closeness of who He is as our Savior and our Lord. To repent is the working of the Holy Spirit to bring me in confrontation with my sinful nature and to know that I need Jesus. And in knowing that I need Jesus, I want to walk with Him because He's my Redeemer, my Savior, and my Lord. Now, we usually talk about grace and faith being pillars which we build upon, and they are, certainly. But grace and faith are first brought, we're first brought to them in the call of repentance, to recognize our sinfulness, that as grace, saved through faith, is ours, that tri-stool, those three pillars of our faith are expressed among us as God's people. Paul, the apostle, would put it this way. Jesus finds me and He rescues me. I'm that lost sheep. I'm that lost coin. I'm those lost Pharisees and teachers of the law in my sinfulness. And Jesus has come to establish Himself in my heart. He searches for me. He rescues me. He finds me. Here's a trustworthy saying, Paul would say, that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Lord, forgive me. I repent of my sinfulness, my sinful nature, and that which condemns me. And here is that trustworthy saying that I cling to, by which I'm saved, by grace, through faith. Jesus came to save me. And as He comes to rescue us, in Him we are also restored. His forgiveness rescues, and His resurrection in that forgiveness restores. The grace of our Lord God was poured out on me abundantly. Guess when that began for you? We confirmed it today. It began when you were baptized. And you've been living in the outpouring of that grace these years. Now you've confirmed them with your own mouth. We have been reconfirmed in them today. that grace poured out on us abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Church, this is our life. This is who we are as God's people. This is what we confess and witness to as we move into the world with the good news of Jesus. And Jesus reminded us what's going on, even unto eternity. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of the Lord God, who over one sinner that repents. Repenting daily. Repenting in the ongoing journey of faith and life. That as I'm called, we're called to navigate these truths of the kingdom. We often run into a tree. Because we're sinful. And in our sinfulness, there's the call to repent, to be made new, to be refreshed, to rejoice that we have been found. Rejoicing then gets to be ours, doesn't it? And this is where now we get to live out what you were confirmed in today. That your lives, as ours together, are a representation of the rejoicing that's going on in heaven. And as we together live as the body of Christ, we get to rejoice in this together. Rejoicing is mine in the new spirit, the new life of the Spirit at work within me. You, personally, today, and we, together with them, renounced the devil and all his works and all his ways. We're no longer a part of that. We have repented of that and been forgiven of that. And you expressed today, personally, as we did the church today, that I believe in God the Father Almighty, in His Son Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and all of that work of the triune God in me and what He continues to do through me. This is where we move and have our being together as people of God. And rejoicing is known in me. Rejoicing is known in me in the joy of being part of the body of Christ, His bride. We are the church. We are His people. Today, you were confirmed into this particular body of Christ, Bethany. But as you grow, as you maybe get married, as you maybe you'll move away, you'll have an opportunity to connect with another body of Christ, another congregation, and join with them in their mission, a similar mission to what we have here, sharing the life and love of Jesus Christ with all, but in that particular place, as the Lord puts us together. To declare the wonders and marvels of who we are as God's people, that He's given us a place in His kingdom. And rejoicing is ours in the promises of my Savior Jesus living in me. May the Almighty God, these were the words spoken over you just a few minutes ago. May the Almighty God, who in the promises of baptism claimed you to be His child, now work within you to bring you into well, full maturity, growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, declaring the wonders of His praise. That was yours, and that was ours. It is ours as well. Rejoicing in the work of our Savior. We were lost, we are found. And every day in that opportunity to continue in that grace that's ours, in the faith in Jesus Christ, to repent where we fall short and sin, to know that grace is renewed in us, in Jesus our Savior. This is what we proclaim. This is where we stand. This is what the church says amen to.
Amen.
I didn't hear you.
Amen.
Amen indeed. Amen indeed. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless us now as this word continues to take root in us, grow in us, and for you young people, that you continue to walk in the ways into which you were confirmed today. In Jesus our Savior. Amen. As we have opportunity this morning unto the Lord to